This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. Elliot Majerzyk's day job is as a producer of With Good Reason, which we all hear Mondays at 7 p.m. on WMRA. At night, however, Elliot morphs into a creator of music he describes as a mix of real instruments along with keyboard-controlled software musical programs like synthesizers and virtual instruments, also adding in sounds like clips of dialogue from old films, speeches, or sample pieces from old 78 records to create evocative soundscape recordings. Not making much sense, huh? Well, you hear the song in the background? That's one of Elliot's pieces. It's called Sway What. I began my conversation with Elliot by asking him to trace the roots of his musical entanglement.
My father loved music, and he was an immigrant from Europe, a Jewish immigrant after the war, and he would blast music. I think he wanted his neighbors to hear it. He would blast cantorial and opera music, and you could hear it in our housing development in Montreal. Then I had a brother, an older brother, who really sort of corrupted me in the best possible way. He was like one of these early folkies, and he listened to people like Dave Van Ronk, Odetta, Joan Baez. And what he did is he snuck me into these clubs in Montreal. I was underage. And Montreal in the late 60s and early 70s was a real hotbed for music. A lot of African-American musicians who loved playing in Montreal because it was like playing in Europe. They could actually stay in the same hotels as their white counterparts. And so anyways, my brother snuck me into these clubs, and I just developed this taste for music. It's like a gift or a curse. Everything I heard stuck in my brain. So I started doing tapes at a very young age for bars and restaurants.
How young is a young age?
You know, I was like 16. You know, bars that I couldn't even go into. And I would mix jazz and folk and early rock, and just I would go into a place. And again, I had this crazy ability. I said, you know, this is the type of music that you should have here, or this is the type of music. And from that, I actually started playing, again, underage music as background in these bars and coffee houses.
Playing as a DJ or on an instrument?
As a DJ. You see that a lot today in restaurants, but it was really kind of innovative back then. And that was an education. It opened my eyes. I didn't do any serious time, but I learned a lot. And then it just graduated. Somebody asked me, they were opening up this new club in Montreal, and it was in the French section. The club was called Vol de Nuit, which means night flight. It was one of the first dance clubs, not really a disco, but, you know, it was the time of the new wavers and old hippies and punks. And they asked me, you know, could you play music? And that was really something else, because this was before they had, you know, CDs and records that lasted 10 minutes. I was just mixing things from everything from The Police and David Bowie to old rock Ventures and reggae and Gene Vincent.
You were sampling.
Well, I was trying to create an atmosphere, but just to set the scene, I mean, when I came in there, there was a line around the block. I would put the first record on, and my goal was to whip them into a frenzy till 3 in the morning on the dance floor. And the bartenders actually used to give me grief because they would say, everybody's dancing, put on something, just clear that dance floor. I really couldn't. You know, I had this artistic integrity. But it was a hard gig. I mean, and there's nothing like 50 people, 60 people dancing, and the record skips, and everybody just freezes and looks at you.
Tell me about Sway What.
It's actually a combination of using a lot of cutting-edge digital technology, things like samplers, keyboards that are plugged into your computer that mimic sounds, and also using sounds from records and sound and there's these tablas, which are Indian percussion instruments. Now, that part is played on a keyboard, and then there's some backwards-sounding sitars, which was me playing the guitar and looping it backwards. And then there's a little sort of electronic bridge. And then at the end, I found something I did about 8 years ago on very primitive technology. And I didn't have all the tracks. I just had the mixed down session, but I really liked a part of it. So I decided to import that part and sort of use it as the tag. It's sort of what I call my cosmic crescendo. And the tabla drums on that are real tablas taken from an album. So the percussion on the first part is actually more digital electronic, and the other percussion on the tablas and sort of that crescendo part is from a record that I created a loop to create this sort of drum sound to on it. The last part is more lo-fi than the first part, but there's something about it that I really, really like. I just played it for somebody, and they said, "Oh boy, this is making me very happy." And it sort of reminds me of some of those records in the 60s that were more like soundtracks than the music, so like oral landscapes. I sort of envision the listener on headphones listening to it, so there's a lot of little tricks about things going from speaker to speaker and a lot of little sounds embedded. You know how the Beatles people used to think that the Beatles put all these little messages in music, but I sort of embed little jokes. And at the end in this...
Wait. Little jokes, musical jokes?
Tell me one. You might not pick it up on over the airways, but there was a little coda in the last 10 seconds of this. If you listen on headphones, because you're mine if you listen on headphones. I took a little of the Drifters classic, Save the Last Dance for Me, and that's all I use, Save the Last Dance for Me, but it's all in... It's a little electronic noise. Somebody once coined the term, and I'm going to appropriate it. My music is what I call plunderphonics, and I put it together and try to be evocative, but with a little sense of humor. I think there's a lot of humor in my music.
Where did this piece begin?
It began with the first couple of seconds where you hear this sort of backwards loop that was created. It's just this little sound on beeps, that sort of an arpeggio on a scale, and it's looped backwards. And I was just totally intrigued by it. And I put it on the beginning, and I said, well, I'm going to put about 20 seconds of this to sort of calm you down. I wanted to create something that would, as I said, be a lot of fun and be evocative and almost act like a meditation, you know, just change how you think. A piece of music that just you might put on as a coffee break from a hectic day, you know, five minutes and 21 second sort of respite from the daily grind and just float away on it. And I listen to it and I go, well, okay, I did that for 20 seconds. It's time to move on. It's like writing, I guess. You know, you just, I've said it in that paragraph. Now where can I go with the next paragraph? So it goes through a lot of changes.
Do you ever feel when you hear something that you have to capture it because it might get away from you?
Well, I sort of remember, and sometimes I hear stuff that I have no idea what it is, and I go crazy on Google. Oh, I heard the lyrics. So I'll sample a little lyric, and it sounds like from the 50s, you know. And but generally, again, with, you know, these 100 gig hard drives, I have enough in my own collection. You know, somebody once said something, and I really like this. They said, if there never was going to be a new record or CD released ever again, you could spend the rest of your life catching up.
What's going on in your brain when you're listening to different musical platforms? For example, MP3s, records, CDs? What's going on?
Well, sound itself is just like vibrating pressures in air, and it travels in continuing waves and it causes vibration on your eardrums, and your brain interprets those vibrations. And records mechanically sort of duplicate these continuing vibrations using the groove of a record. So it sounds a little more natural. But with digital recording technology or computers, slice up these continuing sound waves into tiny, tiny bits of information called samples. The faster the samples, the more the samples, the more the sound resembles the original, sort of like a binary code that goes off and on. Now, yeah, you get the hiss-free and digital recordings, but a lot of people say you lose the depth of sound because this on and off mechanism of recording can't really record the entire sound spectrum.
Can you hear the difference, Elliot? Excuse me for interrupting you.
I can hear the difference between a really good record and a bad CD.
Okay.
Any day of the week. Wake me up at 3 a.m. and I'll tell you the difference of that. I could hear the difference between an MP3 and an album underwater.
Okay.
But what's interesting, people, what's interesting is a lot of people are speaking of ear fatigue listening to CDs and digital recordings, because you may not be conscious that the brain is processing all these samples at extremely high rate, you know, the off and on samples. But after a while, it feels tiring. And that's why people are saying they can listen to a record and an analog recording for a long time, but after listening to like CDs or digital recordings or MP3s, like anything else, we have a shorter attention span. Our brain is telling us, I think, that's a little too much work after a while. But I take my iPod to bed with me. You can't do that in a vinyl. You know, some days I'm stressed and I just put on my earphones and I, you know, I'm lying under the cover. And plus, I plug it into the car. The other thing about that I do love about MP3 is that it has a function called shuffle. Now, shuffle is a random play function. And you could put in 1,000 songs and they would be playing randomly. Now, what I call what happens in something like that is that you get the notion of the, as Arthur Koestler once called it, the ghost in the machine. There are these mixes that come up that you think that somebody is planning this. It is just so perfect. And the other thing about, the great thing about MP3s and iPod players is that what's in there is all the music that you love. Now, it could be 1,000, as I said, songs, 3,000 songs, but it ends up sounding like God's own jukebox, you know? It's just, if there was a jukebox in heaven, it's playing what you love.
That music you're tapping your toes to is another Elliot Majerzyk musical creation, which he graciously calls For Martha. Back after a break to talk basketball color analysis with Stanton's Dan Bonner.